Last week, Kuzuri was not convinced by the Christian scholar. He didn't find the whole story of the virgin birth to be compelling and accurate and authentic enough for his liking. So this week he turns to a Muslim scholar. If anybody's been following the news, today is a very significant holiday in the Muslim calendar. I don't remember how it's called in Arabic, but it's basically the celebration of Ishmael's life. So we start with the arrow, Vachare King. So the king, Kuzari, goes to the Muslim scholar and he says, tell me a little bit about Islam. I want to hear what you believe in. So he says, here is what we believe in. A few fundamentals of Islam in the first three lines. Few things. Number one, God is eternal. Number two, God created the world. Number three, all humans come from the first human created by God, Adam. So far, so good. God is not physical. This is a departure from Christian thought. And most importantly, says the Muslim scholar.
We're trying to print the class list, but we can't find it, so no one started. Oh, you got it?
Most importantly, says the scholar, says like this. So many of us have had this question. You read in the Bible about the hand of God, the eyes of God, God having body parts. Says the Muslim scholar, that's not, God doesn't have any physical parts to him. Don't do it. Muslim scholar says that even when you read in the holy scriptures, the Quran and the Bible, which they believe in, because without the Torah, Islam would not be a religion, as we'll see in a moment. And anything that you read about God that sounds like he had something physical about him, it's not, it's a metaphor, it's helping us understand God better, it's not really the truth that God is anything physical.
He continues. I'm here at the bottom on the right side. He sefer Torah divrei Elohim.
Our book is the words of God. Now he says, and this is where the Muslim tries to prove his religion. So, Islam began around the year 600. There was a prophet. His name was Muhammad.
They claim that Muhammad had a vision.
He was visited by an angel, the angel Gabriel. And the angel Gabriel dictated the entire Quran to him and Muhammad wrote it down.
Now, Muhammad was not an intellectual or a deep thinker. He was very powerful. He was a strong leader, and he was able to get a lot of people to join him. He had many wives, and he claims to have had this heavenly revelation. He writes down the Quran. Now, we have the Tanakh.
Has anybody here ever looked at a Quran?
Yeah.
So in the Quran, you'll notice that the Quran is basically an imitation of the Torah and the Midrash, like all combined together. That's basically the format of the Quran. Except that it's not such a good imitation. They didn't do such a good job copying the stories.
Now, he continues,
Islam took a few hundred years to actually take off, to become a very powerful religion in the world. It took actually almost 400 years. So really only around the year 900, 1000, that was when Islam started to take off. So if you think about it, just 1,000 years, there's over a billion, 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, I don't know what the numbers are now. A lot of Muslims in the world, over a billion of them. It's in a very short amount of time.
1.3, thanks. So, what's the Quran? Let's read here a little bit. He says that the Quran was a miraculous book, and because it was a miraculous book, because it came from a divine source, that's what makes it true. And he continues here at the end of the first right side. He chayav nemekibul ba'avur atzmo. Mipnei she'ein adam yachol chaber sefer acher kamo v'lo kapar shacham parshutav.
No one can just make this stuff up. Because it's so miraculous, it has to be true. Because it's so miraculous, we have to accept it.
And then he says, this prophet Muhammad, Shenevi Einom, at the top of page 63, Hu chotem ha-nevi'im v'atel kol ha-torah ha-kduma lo, v'koreh kol ha-umot el Torah Yishmael.
Which means that Muhammad was the final prophet. Not just the final prophet, but the prophet who basically nullified and made irrelevant everyone who came before him. So, similar, different though, but similar to Christianity, they don't say that Judaism is true. They just say that Muhammad is the true prophet, the final prophet, and the only relevant prophet. But their basis of truth is from Judaism.
And he concludes his words with saying that if you follow the words of the Quran, some of you have probably heard this before, you'll go to Gan Eden, you'll go to the Garden of Eden, there's going to be a lot of food there, and a lot of drinks, mishkal, a lot of women. So you can see how they thought about women, like food and like drinks. Chol asher, I'm just reading the words. Chol asher tava nafsho, ve'onesh ha'mamrav halichato l'ish lo tichbev lo yitumisur v'olam.
And if you don't follow the words of the Quran, you're going to go burn in a very heavy, extreme fire called hell. So this is the faith of the Muslim. The Kuzari says to the Muslim, I have two problems with what you said. Number one, in the next paragraph, we're going to read it inside a second. Number one, you claim that God communicates with man. I'm not convinced. You need a lot more proof than what you gave me. And number two, you claim that your book was dictated by a divine source, and that's how it came down to the world. Here's the problem. It was written in Arabic. In Arabic, I don't speak, says the Kuzari. He says, if your book is so incredible and so spiritual and so divine, it should be accessible. And if it was written in Arabic, the only people it's accessible to are people that speak Arabic.
That's what he says here at the end of the page 63 at the bottom. Im sefer Torahchem mofei lachem v'hu b'lashon arabi, ein makir moftovot, how am I going to know? You
hand me a math textbook written in Arabic and hand me a Quran, I'm not going to know the difference between the two. So how are you going to prove that your book is so holy? When Yehoshua went into the land of Israel, he was told to translate the Torah into 70 languages. You know why? To make it accessible for the entire world. The Torah was specifically translated. Even though translations can often, not often, but always, almost always, take away from the original explanation, the original intention of the original text.
So the Muslim says back about this. He says, we have a lot of miracles. This is paragraph Zayin. Chvar niru al yado. Turn the page. Moftim lo shmulo b'kipu lo torto.
We have a lot of miracles, but that's not necessarily the reason why we keep the religion. Kuzari goes on this rant now in the next paragraph, where he basically says to the Muslim, miracles have to be many, number one. They have to be done in public, number two. A lot of people have to see it. It has to be witness testimonies, as the Kuzari says this, in order for your religion to be true. It has to be miraculous, it has to be supernatural. It has to be done in front of people, meaning it's not just a story that somebody heard. And it has to happen many, many times, over and over and over again, in order for it to really take hold.
Let me just read in the words here. This is paragraph Chet. Amar Kuzari, Enadad Nochalo, Adot Shishal Barach Abraham Basar Vadam. God's not communicating with man. You need to prove. Number one, it has to be something that changes nature.
So water turns into something that it shouldn't turn into. Wine.
There you go. Number two, it has to be in front of a lot of people. It can't just be a story. It can't just be history. It has to be over and over and over again.
So this is what the Kuzari says to the Muslim. So the Muslim has to prove that Islam has all of these things. Yeah.
So we're going to conclude now with the response of the Muslim. Paragraph 9. Amar Chacham. Please follow inside. This is the bottom of page 64. Going on to 65. V'halo Sefer Torahtenu. What does he say? Our Sefer Torah, our book. What's he referring to? The Jewish Bible. Malei midivrei Moshe v'nei Yisrael. It's full of the miracles related about Moshe and the Jewish people. And he starts to list them. Let's see what he has here. Ein marcheh b'mashasa paro. Right? No one denies that God brought punishment on Paro. V'shabakat hayam. And he split the sea. V'sheitzil b'chirav. And he saved his chosen nation. V'tiba and asher katzav aleihem. And he drowned the people who fought against him and who angered him. And he brought the man, and he brought the Slav, 40 years in the desert, all the miracles. He spoke to Moshe at Har Sinai, so on and so forth. The sun stopped in the sky with Yoshua, and he helped Yoshua beat up the Giborim in the land, and the Mabul, and turning over stone, which is this week's Parsha. And then he concludes, Halozeh Adamar Yadua, he says, all this is famous, known, supernatural, miraculous. Therefore, it's what makes our religion true. Finishes off by saying, our religion is true because it's based on all the events. These are known events. God came down to the world. He brought all these miracles to the world. He communicated with Moshe. So our religion is true. What's the only problem with the Muslims' argument? This is Judaism, not Islam. That's exactly what the Kuzari responds. Paragraph 10. Amar Kuzari. And Yuresh at Tzaricha and Elisha al Yehudim. You're talking so much about the Jewish people, I gotta go right to the source. Mipnei Shehem Sheh, Mipnei Yisrael, Mipnei Shehem Yuresh, Shehem HaTana, Varayel, Chol Baal Dak, Yesha Baret, Torah Arts. The only religion that seems to really prove that God ever came down to the world and appeared to people and communicated with humans are the Jewish people. So it took a conversation with a Christian and a conversation with a Muslim in order for the Kuzari to realize that the truth lies with the Jews. Now he doesn't necessarily ready to accept that truth just yet, but he realizes that they are the people that he has to go to in order to find this truth. So we'll begin next week with the Kuzari's first conversation with the Chaver. Please collect the sheets, put them back. Everybody have a wonderful day.